67. Psalm 67, and it's the one which we often have in the evening prayer, known as the Deus Misericordiae. God be merciful. God be merciful to us and bless us. Now the words are very similar in the Authorized Version. There's one or two slight differences in translation. In fact, in the prayer book version, I notice they repeat, God be merciful unto us and bless us, and the countenance upon us. And then it says, and be merciful to us again. It's doubled it in there. But we'll keep with this version that we have in the Authorized Version. Seeking then God's blessing, and firstly the need of the blessing, then the means and the purpose and the consequences. So that's some sorts of headings for you. Well, so this is a psalm we're familiar with, because we have it, we sometimes sing it, don't we? And sometimes we read it, and it's the great theme. It seems to be of a missionary. Let all this verse 3 and again 5, the same verse, they have almost like a chorus in it. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. That's the desire of the psalm writer, who seems very much like a psalm of David. It doesn't say so exactly. The other psalms just before it are, and the psalms that follow on are by David. This one it doesn't say. It's a psalm greatly of the Lord Jesus Christ, of course, speaking of his salvation. Now, it's a prayer and it's a prophecy. When you have these expressions in the Hebrew, you can translate them. Some of them are translated let, that's what we call an imperative, asking God, asking God, isn't it? Praying to God, let the people praise thee. Or it could be translated the same, the people shall praise thee. So for example, the first verse, it'd be simple, we'll soon get through this point here. God be merciful unto us. It's translated at the end, and bless us. In verse 7, it's God shall bless us. It isn't let God bless us or God bless us, it's God shall. The future tense is more of prophecy, and the imperative is that of prayer. So when you pray these things, think about it. If you pray the Lord's Prayer, you say, thy kingdom come, don't you? Because if you're praying for God's kingdom come. But if it was a Hebrew thing, it could be that, or it could be thy kingdom shall come. But it's just a different way of expressing it. We're either in prayer or we're declaring God's truth. But it's the same. The two things are very, very close to each other. And of course it assures us, like the great Amen word we had this morning, Amen and Hallelujah, these words, they're absolutely definite and really solid words. The Amen is the let it be, or the great yes, the truly, verily, verily. Jesus said Amen twice often, verily, verily. He said it. And so these words that were given in the scriptures, while they're given as prayers, they're also given as prophecies, things that will happen. God will bless his people. But there's no complacency in the people of God. We're to be fervent in prayer, but how much more fervent can we be when we know that God is promising the things that he's telling us to pray for? It's a wonderful privilege to be able to approach Almighty God, who, before whom we're unworthy to appear with such confidence. So that's the theme of this prayer. Don't be unbelieving, but be believing in your prayers. You know, often God is well ahead of, well, I don't want to use trite language, as it were, but God knows our thoughts before we pray. We can pray to Him, and we're to do that. God be merciful unto us and bless us. What a thing to ask for. It follows on, of course, from, as we've been taking the Psalms in order, remember towards the end of the previous Psalm, 66, verse 18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me, but verily God hath heard me, He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor His mercy from me. Iniquity in the heart, what a subject it is, vast subject. We often said this before, we're thankful that we don't know all the iniquity of one another's hearts. It would be a very disconcerting world if everyone was continually pointing out the iniquities of your heart. We hardly understand our own hearts. The Lord searches the heart. But here, the person here at least has a clean conscience. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. The person of God, it must be clear that they absolutely hate sin, especially their own sin. And we're not, on the one hand, praying for God, praying to God for His help, for all the things we need, and on the other hand, saying, well, actually, I'm going to live a completely different life. I've got my own plan, I've got my own future set up, but I'm sort of, I'm going to twist this and turn that and distort this, and I'm going to be all sorts of things that I shouldn't be, but I'm going to pray. We can't do that. Prayer is to come to God, as it is in the beginning of this, to be merciful unto us. We've sinned against God. We're all sinners. It's our very state. We're self-directed. I wouldn't say self-centered. It's that sort of thing. Self, at the center of the world is me. This is how thick ourselves. It's horrible. Oh, we wish we weren't like it. But it's our natural state. And we need God's mercy toward us. And we mustn't hide that from God. We don't sort of go on to everyone else about what's wrong with us all the time. But to God we must come absolutely, seriously to Him for His mercy. To have our sins forgiven. We can't be cherishing sins and asking them to be forgiven. We must really be sincere. Rather than regarding or keeping or holding on to iniquities in our hearts. So this is how this starts, really, then, with seeking God to be merciful to us. Now, this is, therefore, this blessing, then, it's very, very needful. This is the first and greatest blessing of all, isn't it? To think that God could be merciful to me, a sinner, as that man cried out at the temple, that evil man came to God, God be merciful to me, a sinner, and he went home justified. Of course, he had to know of the Lord Jesus Christ. He had to know of a Saviour, of course, but he came honestly to God. God be merciful unto us and bless us. This gives the necessity. It's in this mercy, in this being merciful, it's the strong that gives mercy to the weak. It's God who gives mercy to the person, to the human who's weak. But God is strong. He's able to give this mercy. He's almighty. We can only be half merciful to each other, but God can be fully merciful, and in Jesus Christ, He's righteously merciful. It's absolutely fair. because Jesus Christ has borne the sin of all his people on the cross. That the wages of sin is death. Now that's what's coming to me. But Jesus Christ's death on the cross, that's all the wages of my sin taken by him. All the wrath of Almighty God poured out upon him. This is the most wonderful and marvelous thing, isn't it? Christians use simple language sometimes. We say, Jesus died for me. Jesus died to save me. Isn't that marvellous? If you're on about prophets and gurus, no one's died to save anybody. Not to save them from their sins. Not to save them from the wages of sin, which we deserve. But Jesus Christ has. And so God is merciful through Jesus Christ. This is how he causes his face to shine upon us. Just this word bless us. The word bless, it's easy to remember. Well, it's bad as Dr. Dowse for giving you Hebrew words, but you can remember this one. Barak. You've heard of a man called Barak, the president, first name of the president of America. Barak. To bless in Hebrew. But it comes from a word also to be kneeling down. And I thought of the picture of this, you kneel down for someone to bless you, like when they go to the Buckingham Palace and the Queen is going to knight them. They kneel down before her, don't they? And she knights them, blesses them. And so it's like that with God. We kneel down before him and he brings his blessing onto his people. It's through his mercy that he blesses us. This is why this is so needed. This blessing is so necessary, because we need God's mercy for our sins. And we can cry out to him, and he freely in Jesus Christ grants forgiveness of sins, counts the righteousness of Christ, all the perfection of Christ, to clothe the believer. That's what you've got then. In Jesus Christ, believing on him, you're accepted in the Beloved. What a lovely expression that the Bible has. Accepted in the Beloved. Adopted as a child of God, all by God's grace. In fact, we see here, don't we, in this prayer. What could we do? What could we do to save ourselves? What could anyone do apart from cry out for God's mercy? And in Jesus Christ, it's fully there. You see, it says, cause his face to shine upon us. This is the means of blessing. Well, it comes, I know, all blessing is through spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, as Paul writes to the church at Ephesus. But it comes here through this means of his face shining upon us. This is to pray for. It's a simple thing to pray for. It could be prayed for by a little child, couldn't it? Lord, shine thy face upon me today. Well, it sounds very simple. But we'll see. You see, it shows how much we're dependent upon God. We need his goodwill toward us to shine upon us. Is it too much to ask? I say, well, what else can we ask? How else can we pray to God? We don't come with, what do we come with? We've only got sins. We're rather empty. We're very small. We're very weak. Why not ask for God to cause his face to shine upon us? Of course, some people would think that this would mean that they'd be on top of the world, running around full of beans, and that would be it. They'd be running up and down, running along the beach or whatever they're doing, and just full of happiness, the sun shining. But of course, this is asking for God's face to shine upon us. There's something very marvelous about this. It's to see something of the glory and the wonder of God. See, that's not just to turn us into super fit, rich, wealthy people that have a life of Riley. No, this is to have God's blessing toward us, God's face shining upon us. And we see it in that passage we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And I do wonder here where it puts these words, God be merciful unto us and bless us. I pointed this out to you years ago, I think, and cause his face to shine upon us. Whose face? God's face? It's kind of, you can be difficult with the Psalms because of the poetic language. Is it talking about God or someone else? Well, there is a hint of someone else who is also God. His face in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and from verse 4. It talks about the gospel being hid to them that are lost. And then in verse 4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Gospel of Christ shining upon them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. This is Paul the Apostle writing to this church in Corinth, in Greece, and saying to them, look, we're not preaching ourselves, we're preaching Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus, the Lord. This is what you need to know. Don't worry about me. I'm who I am, but yes, all sorts of things have happened through the Apostle Paul, and he's an amazing person, and he's followed God so wonderfully since his conversion. But I don't want to, it's about Christ Jesus. This is what it's about, and it's his light. I've seen Paul, and as a Christian, who's been transformed from being a persecutor to this amazing apostle who just speaks like, when you hear him speaking, you're hearing someone sent specially as a founder of the church, like Peter and John, and they have the very words of God when they're speaking. It's beyond our speech today of even the greatest preacher you could hear, if you could hear someone like Paul. So you could be mistaken, thinking, this man, amazing, we want him, you see. But he says, no, we're not preaching ourselves, we're preaching Christ Jesus the Lord. So you've heard some of these epistles of John and the way he writes, and it's marvellous to hear about, but it's Jesus Christ. And then it says, in verse 6, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. It's hard to think back, isn't it, to the beginning of the world when God said, let there be light, and there was light. Well, it's the same power here. The same God that commanded the light to shine out of darkness. You can tell that one to the people that believe in evolution. This is the words in the New Testament. That God commanded the light to shine. The same God has shined in our hearts. It's the same God. It's the same type of shining. In fact, it's even more amazing because it's the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But it was amazing, wasn't it, for Adam and Eve to have been made. And when Adam was there, and then Eve was made from his side, and he walking with God in the garden. And now they sinned pretty soon afterwards and went their own way. But they'd seen something of God. But here in Jesus Christ, this is the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. This is what, you see, brings a person in Christ Jesus from being totally separate from God. You see these sort of lives today that people live, some quite impressive, these stars, as they're called. They're really pieces of dust. They call them stars, but they're less than really nothing at all. If it was, some of them, I'm sure, have been changed, they've come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Many of these people later in their life, and you think, why have we not heard of, I can't remember any of the people's names, what is so-and-so recently? And some famous person, they become a Christian, and they're not on the news anymore. They're not on the television anymore. They don't want to hear what they say anymore. They're gone. But this light of the face shining upon us of Jesus Christ, that is the light of the world, that lighteneth every man that cometh into the world. Those that received him, he gave power to become the children of God, the sons of God. So this is to pray for. But then there's a second thing. The purpose of it that they're praying for here isn't just for themselves. Yeah, you can say, well, that's very nice. I want to know God closely. I want to feel that God's accepted me and I've got a warm feeling of acceptance with God. This is must be the greatest thing to be a Christian, to be accepted by God and counted righteous because of Jesus Christ is my Saviour, and I'm very, very happy. I'm just going to sit down and be very thankful to God that I'm not like those people that are just going their own way. But it doesn't say that here. It goes on. It's a missionary psalm. It's an evangelistic psalm. It goes on. Why do you want the face of God to shine upon you? Why do you want his blessing? Why do you want his mercy? Verse 2. Well, we've only got to verse 1 in 20 minutes. But that thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving health among all nations. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. The reason that David or whoever here wants this blessing is that through him, the way of God may be known upon the earth. You see, a person who is already trusting in Jesus Christ has everlasting life. They've got everything. They don't need anything. If they get some disease and waste away and die in a week, they're happy. They've got everything. They're happy with the Lord. What more could they want? But here, the person who's alive and is still alive and has been kept in this world and is a Christian, their desire for God's mercy and blessing and his face to shine upon them isn't for themselves. We don't need anything. The Apostle Paul was as content when he was in trouble as when he was being praised. In all ways he learned to be content. But his desire here is that the way of God may be known upon the earth. And the people of God need God's blessing. We need his face to shine upon us. We are the light of the world, Jesus said. But it's his light. As he shines on us, it shines back out again. Now, we don't mean this in any strange way. It's true. We don't know how it works, but it's true. This is what we need. We need God's blessing on his people, that we may be full of joy in the Lord Jesus Christ. We may be full of wonder and awe of how amazing it is to be forgiven and have everlasting life and to know that God is for us. And we're what God has given for this purpose to go forth. Someone once said to me, or to a church, they said, most people, you are the only Bible that they'll ever read. I thought, I'm not a Bible. Does it make sense, does it? But what they mean is that most people don't read the Bible. They don't pick up a Bible. They're not going to look in the Bible and find out all about the way of salvation. But they see Christians. And if God's face is shining upon us, not making us prosperous and healthy, wealthy and wise and all these sort of things. Well, we're hopefully a bit wiser than we were, but seeing that God is with us, like the often quoted to of the Chinese pastors in prison. People knew God was with them because they could see He was with them. You can almost see it. With that, this is what we need to behave like, to be like. But see, I almost want to say to you, don't do anything. Ask God to do everything. But that itself is a demanding thing. We have to admit to ourselves that there's no good thing in us and call out to God for His mercy. It isn't for us to be negligent or anything at all, but it's to give all glory to God for His mercy, His blessing, and His face shining upon us. This is God's way. You see, God didn't send an angel, did He? Angel to preach the gospel. He sent preachers. He sent Jesus Christ. Didn't send Him as an angel. He came as a man. And so the gospel has gone forth ever since with ordinary people. In great weakness, Paul spoke to them. The Apostle Paul, in trembling himself, he said, what have I got? Oh, the truth. This is the truth. The truth is that Jesus Christ is the Saviour. He's the only way. He's the only way to be saved. And he knows that the Holy Spirit promises to be with His people and to encourage us to go, Lord, I'm with you. Always. So when we want to think, well, the worst thing, what would be the worst thing you could do tomorrow? The worst thing, the hardest, the most impossible thing must be, wouldn't it? Impossible to tell someone about Jesus. Wouldn't that be impossible? But you see, do you think God would help? Do you think He'd laugh at you? I don't think so. I think God would cause His face to shine upon us. He wants us not to be afraid. What have we got to lose? So this desire here is that the people of all the nations will praise God. Now, this is Old Testament. This is Jewish, if you like. This is when there was only one people in Israel who knew the real God. The whole of the rest of the world had all gone after all sorts of kings and idols and all sorts of things and funny religions. Well, not very funny. Most of them were pretty foul. But this prayer has already been answered largely, hasn't it? It's come to us. We're praising God because of this psalm, aren't we? Because it's been asked. Yes, there have been people that came to Britain who's had God's face shining upon them, and they came and said, do you know what? You don't want to worship these stones. There's a living God. And it changed the country, and it's happened in all around the world in different countries. So, to a large extent, this psalm, this prayer has been answered. There are people all around the world now praising God. But it continues. This work continues. There are millions and millions of people around the world, they haven't got a Bible in their own language. They depend on interpreters. They can't pick up the Bible for themselves. And they have very primitive churches. And so this is a great prayer to pray. Of course, it extends to those all around us, doesn't it? We don't have to go to the ends of the earth to reach all the nations. There's nations, people from many nations all around us here, and the prayer is that they will be able to sing and rejoice. You think of these nations, you think of, we mentioned in our prayers Egypt earlier on. I was thinking about this. They went from having one a king or a president or whatever, they didn't like him, did they? So they got rid of him. Now they've got the army in control. They don't like that. They're all going mad about that and writing about it. Now what's going to be next? I'll get, if it goes as, if they have an election and it all happens as they're saying, it'll be the brotherhood of Muslims. Will they be any better? Will it be suddenly a happy, peaceful world with an Islamic government in that country. They, Egypt needs the Lord Jesus Christ. There's church, there's an ancient church in Egypt, but it's sadly it's a very faulty church. It's an Eastern Orthodox church called the Coptic Church. It's rather like the Roman Catholic Church in some respects. And so there's no real gospel in it. It's very muddled up, as it were. It's a form of religion. And of course they want to have a right to be what they're at, and they get troubled and persecuted and all sorts of things and don't have much freedom. But there are true Christians in Egypt, of course. But what the country, what Egypt needs, it needs the Lord Jesus Christ. It needs this prayer to be answered for Egypt, doesn't it? That the way, thy way may be known upon the earth, thy saving health. That expression, saving health, incidentally, is a peculiar, slightly peculiar translation. It's really just a word for salvation. But of course, salvation is a saving health, isn't it? You're suddenly brought to the right way with God among all the nations. And then, so you can think of countries like that, and you can pray for them that this way, that the knowledge of Jesus Christ, well, even in our own country, now what's happened here? People were, to some extent, familiar with Jesus Christ, up to a point. Never, the whole country's never all been Christian. With some people think back to, with rose-tinted spectacles, to past eras, but certainly there was a lot, it was a lot better than it is in many ways now, and we need to pray for our own country. But look what happens here. When the people praise God in verse 5, then verse 6, then shall the earth yield her increase. And God, and there's this lovely little expression, you think, well, why do they put this in? Even our own God shall bless us. Isn't that a lovely touch? God, even our own God shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. You see, when their praise has turned to God, when God is glorified, and this prayer is answered, and people praise God, then the earth shall yield her increase. There is partly the fields, the harvests, depend upon God's blessing. People like to laugh at this nowadays. But you don't think that it's all down to farmers and their skills and how good they are. Well, why in some of these countries where they're so against God, there are famines. We've been close to it in our own land, with prices of food going up. We've had diseases with the cows and all sorts of things. Foot and mouth and mad cow and all this sort of thing. Wouldn't take much, would it? What would it take for one disease to wipe out? They were saying there's one thing with the trees, Dutch elm disease, and all our trees are very vulnerable now to some invasions of various things that could kill all our oak trees and beech trees and all these trees. It would be disastrous. And what would it take if it happened to the corn and the wheat that all the animals depend on? We're very, very subject to God's grace for our crops. Now, we face a country that's in a disastrous times economically. We talked this morning, mentioned Thomas Cook this morning. Suddenly this huge crash of this massive holiday company. Suddenly they've got their price of their shares dropped and dropped, and they've got this huge debt, and that makes them worse and worse, and there's so much of this sort of thing going on, and the countries that we must get out of this recession, sort all this out. No mention of God in it. No turning to God to ask God to save us from it. While the church, some of us will be praying for God to be merciful to us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us. If the light of God was shining upon many, many people in our country and in people in authority, what good may come of it? Then shall the earth yield her increase. It talks of prosperity. Are we not claiming individually great riches for anyone, but this is God's way of blessing his people. And it extends, as we read in that Corinthian passage again, far beyond temporal things. For while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. Maybe some improvement in states of people's welfare, temporary, is only for a time. But the things which are not seen are eternal. And here is where this great yield of increases is promised to the people of God, to the church of God. The people of God need to be on our knees before God. This is a great example of prayerfulness in this psalm. God, be merciful unto us. Just think of that expression. I wonder how conscious we are of being in need of God's mercy and God's blessing. There are some churches are so successful nowadays, you wonder whether they've done it themselves. Now, I don't mean to be unkind. I'm sure some of them haven't. I'm sure some of them are very prayerful and have been greatly blessed by God, and we're very thankful, and there must be many around the world like that. But there are others that are run like corporations, and you think that they could do it all by their clever ingenuity. But God is seeking his people to be humble before him. And I say that verse from the previous psalm again. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Let us pray. Father in heaven, how marvelous that sinners such as ourselves are called to come before thee. With nothing we come. We cling to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask thee to be merciful to us and bless us. Lord, that the face of the Lord Jesus Christ, we may look into him and his face may shine upon us, and that thou wilt be merciful to us, that thy way may be known upon all the earth, so all the nations may praise thee. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Let them be glad and sing. Lord, these are things we cannot do of our own power or our own strength. We have nothing in ourselves, Lord, but thy mercy. And we fall before thee. Be merciful to us and bless us, that thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving health to all nations and generations. Lord, we thank thee for those who prayed in the past, even for us, and bringing us to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know, Lord, that there is a day coming when all thy people are gathered in, and the Lord Jesus Christ will return in his great glory to judge all the world. And Lord, so many are not ready. They're not prepared. They're not clothed with the blood and righteousness of Christ. Have mercy, we pray. Lord, give us opportunities, we pray, even as our church here, to speak to others, to give things for people to read, calendars, to invite people to church. Lord, be merciful, we pray. In the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.